Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Today's episode is thanks to our Patreon members and our affiliates and partners. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to join our membership or donate to the podcast, and stay tuned to hear about some amazing deals and discounts from our partners, including Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, and Jen and Carrie. But for now, we're getting right to the show. Enjoy. Hey, fans and listeners, Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, your host of the podcast, sports dietitian, and owner of Rise Up Nutrition. Thanks for tuning in once again. I'm here today with a repeat guest, Erica Suter. She is a youth female athlete performance coach based out of Florida, but also providing services online and nationwide. We had her on the podcast previously in episode 74, titled Strength Training Will Not Make You Bulky. And I would strongly encourage you to head back to listen to that episode. And today we're going to focus. She is a strength training coach, but she also focuses a lot on speed and agility. So we're going to dive into a little bit more on the specifics of speed today. Real quickly, though, let me read you her bio. Erica is a passionate youth speed, agility, strength, and conditioning coach in Tampa, Florida, and online, who has been working with athletes for over 10 years in performance enhancement and injury prevention. She is also the author of the Strong Female Athlete book, which is a science-based and experience-based text with a fresh, novel approach for youth female athletes to improve speed, reduce injury, and increase strength. Erica's mission is to help girls become strong, resilient, and creative through exercise, while inspiring them to love movement and sports, to not see these as obligations, but rather enjoyable escapes from the stressors of life. Erica, thank you so much for having another conversation with me and my listeners today.
Thanks for having me, Lindsay. It's always nice to chat with you.
Absolutely. So for our audience, just in case they didn't listen to your first episode, which I've reminded them to all go back and do that, but can you just tell us a bit about the type of clients you typically work with, mostly soccer and mostly young girls, correct?
Yeah. So currently I work with mainly middle school age to college age female soccer players. However, there are a few tennis athletes mixed in there, as well as field hockey and volleyball and basketball.
That's awesome, because what you do is you're trained as a strength and conditioning coach, and you are helping girls get faster and stronger and more agile for their sport. And I can see with every sport you just listed, like speed and agility is so huge, right? It's these little short bursts of sprints to get to the ball or, you know, get to the net as quickly as possible. And so this concept of like speed and agility is so important for these sports.
It is. And I think like speed especially is one of those things that every female athlete, I don't care what sport you are, whether you're soccer, basketball, you're a cheerleader, or you're a gymnast, or even a golfer, speed is one of those skills that really raises all the boats, as track coach Tony Holler would say, meaning the more we do like fast, explosive actions, like running a time sprint as hard as you can, it raises the ceiling on the explosive actions like a jump or a golf swing or a backhand spring or even change of direction movements, because sprinting is one of the most extreme things the body can do. And every athlete should be doing it. Even when you're done playing sports, you should be doing it. So yeah, I love talking about speed.
Yeah. And you just remind me, I do get a lot of runners who listen to this podcast, mostly because I myself am a runner. So I just kind of like tend to attract that. Although I love all sports, I've done more sports and I work with clients that are across all sports. But it's interesting because I know that like when I was on like a youth soccer team or like went to field hockey tryouts in high school and stuff like that too, like typically my teammates at the time, like they love the sport of soccer. They love volleyball. They love field hockey. And like running is their least favorite thing. And yet running is in most sports on some level. Like you do have to do it on some level, even if your sport is not running.
And, you know, I would say for like the long distance runners, they can really benefit from speed training just to give themselves a new stimulus and to really be able to power through at the end of that long race. Usually the fastest athletes are the athletes who never poop out in the final minutes of competition in any sport. But the slowest athletes, they'll let you down. Right? They will lose, they will get fatigued, which is why it is so important for everyone to have that high intensity stimulus that is speed training.
Absolutely. So can we go there? No matter what your sport is, what are some examples of speed training? You kind of already mentioned like just doing like sprints down the road, but like where would you start? And maybe that's too general of a question. Maybe it really depends on where somebody's at, but like somebody who I want to go towards where some of my listeners are of some of the endurance athletes first. Let's say they are a distance runner or a cyclist or an endurance rower, and we want to start getting some speed work done. What does that look like? Does that mean doing sprints at the end of every workout? Does that mean designating one speed day into their training plan per week? Where do you start?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great question to unpack. So I'll start with this. So speed training is very simple, but not everyone is willing to do simple. Because when you look at a speed training session from the outside in, and a lot of parents of athletes I coach, they watch our speed sessions and they're like, wow, you guys are standing around a lot. Well, when you run a sprint as fast as you can, you need to be emptying the tank. Like your nervous system is firing as fast as possible and you should be exhausted after that 40-yard effort. And the body takes a couple minutes to even several minutes to replenish the lost ATP stores from that effort. So yes, we have to be recovering hard in our speed sessions. And it's going to look a lot like standing around. But when you are doing a sprint, you're going max effort. So I'd say doing your sprints is key, reaching at least over 30 meters distance all out and timing yourself so that you can see improvement. And usually when we time ourselves, we run faster and we raise the intensity. Better yet, when we race against someone that raises the intensity more. So definitely run your sprints. And then another part of speed training is doing your jumps and your hops. So your jumps and your hops are really all about training your feet to bounce off the ground quickly. In my speed sessions, I like to warm up with jumps and hops just to get their nervous system ready for that intense speed workout and to really just fire them up and excite them. So jumps and hops are important. And then you have like your running mechanics drills. So learning how to have really upright posture. When you're sprinting full speed, you cannot be slouched over or you're going to be a step behind. So you have to have upright posture, eyes forward, chin up is usually what I like to cue. And we work on these things in like our high knee drills, marching, different like skipping variations. And within these drills, we also work on how to have the arms by your side and the hand moves from the eye socket and then back to the hip pocket. And the hands never cross the body. So we want to make sure that athletes have really clean mechanics. So the key is mechanics, jumps, hops, and then run your sprints. And as far as frequency, if you can do it one day a week, you're ahead of the game because not a lot of people are doing these things one day a week. But if you can up it to two, that is going to be fantastic. And you're going to start noticing improvements in even just a couple months' time. Speed is one of those things that you can gain it really quickly just getting that stimulus of max effort sprints. But it's also one of those things that you can lose quickly. So if you stop doing your speed training, you lose your explosiveness within even just a couple weeks' time. It's pretty fascinating to see.
And oh, wow.
I see that with a lot of my girls who go off and play their high school seasons, and they're just too busy to get in speed training. And they come off of that season back into training with me, and they're not as twitchy as they once were. So it's really important if you can get in those sprints just 1 to 2 times a week year round, you're golden.
Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation so far, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. But first, I want to pause and let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track to overcome disordered eating and use food as fuel to perform at your highest level. The Female Athlete System of Transformation is my unique program and proven systems to guide female athletes to understanding and implementing the proper nutrition for their sport, life, and health. Myself and my team of registered sports dietitians work one-on-one with clients to address their unique needs and counsel them through the nutritional and behavioral changes needed. Many female athletes who resonate with disordered eating, mental guilt around food and body, relative energy deficiency in sport or female athlete triad, amenorrhea, repeat injuries due to negligent nutrition, or frankly, just a lack of knowledge and understanding on their fueling needs, have seen incredible success in the Fast Track. After years of working as a sports RD, I've compiled the most effective ways for female athletes to learn nutrition, be supported, be challenged, and ultimately find their success with fueling as fast as possible. So don't wait another day. Get to your goals faster by joining the Female Athlete System of Transformation. Look in the show notes or head to the website to book a free call and learn more. Okay, now let's get you back to the conversation. Enjoy. That was super insightful. By the way, I was actually a sprinter in college. I ran track and field, and I was a sprinter middle distance. So I did like the 400 meter hurdles, but middle distance sprinting. I should clarify there. I was not 100 or 200. That was too fast for me. But anyways, these mechanical drills, these jumps and hops, that took up the first 30 plus minutes of every practice. So the form that you're doing, I think what you're really expressing here is like the form and mechanics behind the sprint is so important. And yeah, we did those at a D1 collegiate level. We did those the first 30 minutes of every practice, no matter what.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, Lindsay, because when it comes to speed, so many athletes say they want it, but they're not willing to put in those reps up with those mechanical drills. Mm-hmm. And it does take that much of a frequency, like 30 minutes at the start of practice. And it's like working on your ball skills. You have to continue to work on these things. And I think athletes need to really like prioritize speed and make time for it, because it is one of the most important qualities and one of the most game-changing qualities across all sports. So that's why I always say it's simple, but not many do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm thinking of different sports. Like I feel like, you know, certain like soccer, just as the obvious example here, like it's built into the sport of doing sprints, but just because it's built into the sport of that's part of the game, chasing the ball, getting there before the other player, you know, you still need to practice doing it faster or more efficiently. And then we have our other sports, you know, like I kind of pose the question of more the endurance athlete that, okay, it's not something you have to do, but at the end of the race, it's all about that kick. And having practicing this a couple times is going to hugely help with finishing the way that you want to. Yeah.
There's actually some interesting studies on just different sports incorporating sprint training. I know Tony Holler's doing a lot of work with like the MLB teams and even like pitchers, and how running sprints helps pitchers to throw at higher velocities. And wow. This is because of the stimulus to the central nervous system when you're running a sprint, because it is the fastest stimulus you can get. And then there's also research that running sprints can help improve golf swings even. So it's just super fascinating. And, you know, I don't think athletes can ever go wrong with getting too fast. There's no downside to pursuing speed.
Yeah.
And even for like just your brain, it is one of the most intense coordinated exercises you can do. So it's really good for the cognitive component of sports, which is much more fascinating in my opinion. So it's just super interesting research coming out.
I love the way that you're speaking about it. It's like lighting me up right now, just because as somebody who does love running and was a sprinter in my youth, it does light me up when, because I will say, talking personally, like I actually do have good running form, and I think it's from 30 minutes a day of practicing running mechanics as a sprinter, right? Versus somebody who maybe wasn't a sprinter, maybe, and then gets into running 5Ks for whatever reason, like didn't have that training. And it does excite me when I finish a run and then I'm going up and down the street just for some strides, some pickups, some sprints. I feel like so fast just because of my form alone. There's something that like cognitively does feel good about being in that posture and going fast. And it is a coordinated effort, as you said. It takes body coordination to run. It really does take, to do it properly, it takes a lot of coordination. And I think that's where a lot of our non-running sports, so again, our volleyball, our golf, whatever, like we might just think, oh, it's just running. You just go out and do it. No, it actually does take a lot of coordination to do it properly with the right form, with the right mechanics to translate into speed on the ground, efficient speed. So that's really awesome. And I kind of want to go back because you were like, there's no downside to getting faster. And when we started this conversation, you mentioned that like sprinting is maybe, I forget the exact term you use, but maybe one of the best things or healthiest things somebody could do for themselves. Could you maybe explain a little bit more about like the benefits of sprinting? We can all see the benefits of it in sport, you know, to get to the ball faster, to cross the finish line first. But are there other like benefits, like the cognitive, the nerve, how it plays a role in our nervous system? Like, why is sprinting so good for people in general?
I would say definitely the cognitive piece, just because you're really working the left and right hemisphere of the brain. So that's something. And then another thing is it is also a strength exercise in a way. And it's just a nice stimulus to get, especially as you get older, because our muscles start to atrophy around our 30s. And then we start to lose a lot of our explosive power. So if we can just stick with sprinting in each decade and not let up, then we're going to stay strong. We're going to stay powerful. And it's a really great hamstring exercise too. And when you strengthen your hamstrings, you safeguard your knees more. And we all need that as we get older. So yeah, I would say those are the most important ones. And if you feel like you haven't sprinted in a while, you can always just start small, start with like a 10-yard distance, or even like a hill sprint, because it kind of takes the load off the knees, and then just work your way up to a longer 30-yard distance on flat surface, and then start to do more volume and do more reps. So you can really do it any way, no matter what age you are. I think a lot of like older athletes or retired athletes are like, oh no, those days are over, but you can slowly get those days back. And it's just, you got to keep it in your life somehow and stay explosive.
Yeah, I think I love that reminder as we age, because yeah, maybe our most explosive years are in our teens or 20s, but the importance of keeping it up to prevent muscle atrophy, to keep your nervous system engaged, I think those are some really great reasons to keep doing it, to prevent injuries, knee injuries moving forward. That's like, it almost tells us as we age, we need to focus on this even more. Even if we're not as fast as our 20-year-old self, it's still, it's something really important to do for protection.
Absolutely. And you know, you actually can get faster than your 20-year-old self if you stick with it. And usually like a lot of us who played college sports, we look back and we're like, okay, we got away with things. We did well. but we weren't eating that great or we weren't sleeping that great. But now when we're older, it's like, oh, wow, like I can actually, I know more about these things. I can dial these in and I might be able to be faster than I was as a college Division I athlete. So it's very interesting to like think of it that way too.
Fans, I hope you are enjoying the conversation. We are going to take a quick pause so I can tell you about our partners. They are so valuable in providing you with amazing products and helping keep this podcast going. First, Prevenix. Thanks to their incredible Joint Health Plus product, my aches and pains from running, and honestly, being a new mom, as crazy as that sounds, have literally disappeared. As I continue to push my body physically as an athlete, and frankly, as I continue to age, I was shocked at the aches I was beginning to feel in my knees, wrists, ankles. It seemed like omega-3s, curcumin, nothing was really working. But after just 1 month of Joint Health Plus from Prevenix, I felt a drastic improvement. Honestly, this is something I rarely experience with supplements, but Prevenix uses quality ingredients backed by sound science. Their products are pharmaceutical grade with extensive testing for safety, quality, and purity. They offer other supplements, including probiotics, omega, immune health, and a multivitamin, which I also use daily. And the science behind their multi has changed my opinion on multivitamins altogether. I used to never recommend them or take them myself, and now I recommend and take Prevnix Multivitamin Mineral and Antioxidant Plus daily. I am so impressed with Prevnix and I can't wait for you to try. You can get 15% off your first order using the code RISEUP at checkout. The company also offers 100% money back guarantee within 30 days because they stand by their products. And so do I. Head to Prevnix.com, Prevnix.com, and use the code RISEUP, one word at checkout for 15% off. For nutritional shakes and bars to fuel your body, head to Orgain.com and use the code RISEUP30 for 30% off your first order. Orgain's ready-to-drink nutritional shakes are my go-to to throw in my bag when I'm heading to the gym or to a trail to run, so that when I'm done, I've got a recovery option to refuel and rehydrate with right away. Orgain makes nutrition and sports nutrition that works. For repeat customers, check the show notes for more. And again, first-time customers, head to Orgain.com and use the code RISEUP30, all caps. And last, ladies, moms, every mom is an athlete. That's why Jen and Carrie have designed the best nursing and pumping sports bras. I cannot rave about these enough. I hate that most maternity bras have clips and don't support being active, but Jen and Carrie get that because they're moms and athletes themselves. They want you to be a mom and an athlete. So their stylish and athletic high-impact bras allow you to crush your workout and then feed your baby with comfort and style. They have saved me during this time of my life, keeping up with sport and momming. Please go check them out at jenandcarrie.com and use the code RISEUP10 for $10 off your order. You won't regret it. Again, jenandcarrie.com, RISEUP, all caps, RISEUP10 for $10 off. Let's get back to the episode.
We have lots of proof of that. And I switch because I don't necessarily sprint anymore. I, you know, as far as competing goes, I do different events than I did when I was younger. But I do feel like I'm a better athlete now than I was when I was younger in many regards, yeah. Not in gymnastics. My gymnastics days are over. But in other regards, because of that knowledge, lifestyle changes, you know, that actually as you get older, sometimes you do get wiser and you start, you can get better. So I love that little reminder there.
I hear that a lot, Lindsay, from women our age in our industry, like who played at a high level in college, that they feel more athletic now because of the education they've gotten. So it's just super interesting. And it just is a testament to how important it is to dial in all parts of your performance. Like you can't have good speed if you're not sleeping well, or if you're not fueling with good food. So yeah, thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think it's a testament to advocating for women in sport for longer. You know, like we're going on, you know, 40 plus years now of having women like really strongly involved in sports. So like we've got so much more support than, you know, 20 years ago, we only had 20 years of you know, research and knowledge and support. And now we've got more to just empower us throughout all the different life stages that we're in. And yeah, I mean, we can have a full conversation just about like women's rights and women in careers and women in sport and like how things just, thank goodness, are getting better and better. And women in sport is another like opportunity that we have for longer now that honestly didn't really exist 20 years ago. So
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All for women's empowerment.
Yeah. Yes. That's why you and I work with all girls and women.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I love what you do. It's just, it's so needed. And especially like on the nutrition side of things, I feel like there's just so much nonsense out there. And yeah, it's like, how do these girls navigate that world? You know? So thanks for being
hard.
A voice for them. It's important.
Thank you, Erica. Yeah. No, it's hard. And it's honestly, it blows my mind. I just enrolled a new client this week and like was talking to her about kind of where her struggles were. And it's honestly, it's such a good refresher because sitting on the other side where I have all this knowledge, I've been through all this, like I just kind of like assume everybody knows now that like dieting's not good, like don't limit your calories. But like, here's my brand new client who didn't know that yet, or like was influenced the wrong way because that's what her teammates were doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's still out there. There's still so much misinformation. There's so many misguided people. And it never ceases to amaze me how much more work there is needs
I
to be
imagine.
Done. Yeah. Yeah. So getting back to your work as well, I wanted to kind of know, I love how you said that speed training and doing sprints is almost, it's not weightlifting, but it's almost it's a form of muscular activation in a similar way that like, you know, weightlifting can be. And so I kind of wanted to have the conversation with you about like, how does weight training help with speed as well? Because the weight training is building our muscles. Well, we need muscles to go fast. You know, we need strong muscles. So like, how do the two of those work together? Because here's a little side story about me and my collegiate days. I've always lifted weights in high school, college, and beyond. When I was in college, our weightlifting program was not coordinated with our actual practices. And our strength coach would have us go do squats and cleans, and my quads would be crushed. And then I'd be going, trying to run 15 400s, and I was just crushed. Like my quads, like I couldn't walk up the stairs. I don't know how I was doing practice, honestly, like they were crushed. So like you need to do weight training. It should help you get faster, but you also don't want it to like conflict. Could you just speak on how the two work together and then when they interfere with each other?
Oh, yes. So high volume weight training, like we're talking like bodybuilder type workouts, maybe like some of like the bigger lifts, like bench, back squat, those aren't really going to move the needle with speed training. So we want to make sure athletes are strengthening their muscles, but they're not getting so depleted from a strength workout that it ruins tomorrow's workout with speed. So we never want to ruin the next day. So I like to keep my reps, you know, anywhere from like 8 to 15 in like the first phase of a program. And then we decrease from there 6 to 8 or 4 to 6 reps, and just really touch on each muscle group. And honestly, the further I've gone into strength and conditioning, I've decreased the amount of movements we do on weightlifting days. Just because youth sports have changed so much. They're year round, and I don't want to provide more damage to all the load an athlete is already doing. So I want to make sure we hit each muscle group in the gym, especially the hamstrings, because they're primary movers in accelerating and sprinting, but then also like our core, our upper body for good posture in our sprint mechanics, and also our quads, just to even things out. But yeah, I've just moved away from less exercises just as fillers. It's just not necessary, because I really want athletes to have a quality speed workout. I never want my athletes to be in a chronic state of soreness. Mm-hmm. I still hear girls, "Oh, my quads are sore," every single week they're saying this. And I'm like, well, have you had a day off, or have you worked on your recovery and your sleep? And they're just so stimulated and loaded that I just don't want to add more to that. So right now, when we're in season, we're only doing like 4 strength exercises per workout. And then on our in-season speed days, we're only doing 2 or 3 sprints with a lot of standing around. Mm-hmm. So we're just really focused on quality over quantity.
I love that. Quality over quantity, and keeping that in mind with your weightlifting, quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Erica, you have a new book coming out. You have one that's been out for a while now.
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years. And you have a new book. Are you still working on it, or is it in its final stages now?
It's getting edited right now. Yeah. But we all know that takes longer than we think. So it might be another few months.
Okay. Well, here's your opportunity to share with the world, or not the world, but our listeners, about it, even though it's not out yet. But get on Erica's mailing list. Get her first book, if you don't already have it, about how to become a strong female athlete. And then tell us a bit about what the second book is about.
Sure. So the first book is more The Strong Female Athlete. It's more like the research behind why we should get our girls strength training, why they shouldn't be early specializing, why they should focus on different recovery methods, track their menstrual cycles. So it's just more of like the science-based part. Now, this next book is more how to apply all of this in a practical setting. So the book has a chapter on speed with like exercise videos and pictures and sets and reps and workbooks. It's like a textbook.
Yeah.
And then there's like agility and then your strength movements, how to like really work on form for each movement. So it's like really just this full-on guide to basically what I do in person that you can just have in a textbook. And it's going to be called High Performance for Female Athletes.
I love that. Yeah, well, it's so important. You do work with clients in person, as well as you have online ways that you can, you know, work one-on-one with somebody virtually, send them their workout plans, communicate with them and how it's going. But I think that this, you know, book that's really a practical guide can just help so many more people. I know I myself, I'm like, yeah, it's been a while since my sprinting days. I could use somebody giving me some tips and tricks, and maybe that book is exactly what I need to start, you know?
I'll definitely send you one.
Oh, thank you. Well, hopefully all goes well with the final like editing and everything like that.
Thank you. I'm excited. Awesome. And the second half of the book is actually all on mental training, and it's going to be very interesting because I finished it when I was going through a pretty hard time, actually the past few months, just going through like a bunch of like hospital visits and stuff. So it's very interesting how the book like wraps up. But I think it will be encouraging for a lot of girls who, you know, they go through failures or adversities or injury or sickness. And I think I'm just really excited for it. Like, it's going to be pretty, pretty impactful. So,
and I love that it took that angle as well. And that, you know, I think whatever you were going through personally, like now you're like, this is why this part of the book is so important, but it's just the truth. We all face adversity and obstacles in our life at some point. And so having tools or tips or just knowing they're not alone is so important when we do face that obstacle, because it's bound to happen at some point. So I'm so glad that you included that as well.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, Erica, you are ericasuter.com, The Strong Female Athlete, your own podcast, which I'm so grateful you've let me be a guest on. It's on your YouTube channel, Soccer Queens Podcast. Anywhere else that people should find you or reach out to you?
I'm mainly just on Instagram and Twitter at FitSoccerQueen. And yeah, the podcast is only on my YouTube, but you'll be able to find it like on my social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on again, Erica.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, if you are a true fan of female athlete nutrition, then I would love if you could support our podcast by spreading the word. Share a review on your listening channel. Give us 5 stars. It really helps get the word out and get the show more views to positively impact others.
Also, you can support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to consider a donation, or even better, join our membership where you get extra monthly content and perks. We don't want you to simply listen alone. We want you to be a part of a community and a movement of fierce, fit, and fueled female athletes. So patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition is where you can do exactly that, learn more, and join. A huge thanks to our affiliates and partners as well. Once again, Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, Jen and Carrie. Please go check them out, and their links in the show notes where you can get deals and discounts. Last, be sure that you do more than just listen. If you need help with fueling, it's time to take action. Head to my website to learn more. You can either book a free call with me to learn more about our coaching programs and how we can work directly with you, whether it's the fast track or otherwise. Or you can take our online self-study course, Female Athlete Nutrition. You can literally sign up and gain access right now. You can explore our downloadable products, including the Red S Recovery Guide, High Iron Fueling Guide. Or if you are a coach of a team, check out our brand new coaches toolkit for teams. You can also just learn more. We have a blog, a Red S quiz to see if Red S is affecting you. If you need help, I want you to get help fast. Too many girls and athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. You can rise up with the power of nutrition, take action today in any of these avenues, and become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.